listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Hello, this is Bradley Martin with the Screener Squad, talking about Netflix streaming to you when you're quarantined all alone and have nothing else to watch. Why not watch something that'll help you fall in love all over again, and again, and again? I'm not here to talk about that alone, this film. I'm here with Mindy.
Hello.
And Jen.
Hey.
We're talking about a rom-com. We can discuss if this is a rom-com. I think it is, called Love, Wedding, Repeat. And why don't you offer us an absolute synopsis of that, please?
Well, it is based on a French film called Plan de Table, I believe, is how you pronounce it. And it's essentially, there is this man, Jack, his sister is getting married. And before this, he has met up with the sister's friend, and they kind of had like a potential to start dating or at least get into each other, but that kind of got ruined. But they've always been in each other's heads. And the sister's like, oh, by the way, that friend is invited to this wedding. Have fun. And so it's all about, once the wedding happens, the bride's ex-boyfriend kind of fling shows up and to put a massive monkey wrench into the proceedings. And so the sister hatches this plan to slip this ex some really, really powerful sedatives. And so what this film does, essentially it goes long term of the darkest timeline and the best timeline, and then all of the other timelines sped up in the middle about what happens based on who drinks this sedative. Now, is it the brother? Is it the ex? Is it the brother's ex-girlfriend? Is it her boyfriend? Is it the person that the brother likes? Is it the brother's best friend? And based on who drinks it, all these crazy, wacky things happen. And so you have the trying to get the ex to not break up this wedding, while at the same time the brother is also trying to have a second chance with this girl that got away.
Did you really call it getting away, though? I mean, they only knew each other for a weekend prior.
Yeah, but, you know, he was gonna make his move and then it didn't happen, as Judi Dench in her lovely British swearing tells the audience watching. That's how I knew I would love this movie. It starts out with Dame Judi Dench in her proper British accent just calling about how love can be such a twat that kicks you in the bollocks. And I'm like, I'm in. I am so in this movie right now.
I'm very ashamed of myself for not realizing that that was Dame Judi Dench, because I love her so much. And holy hell, how did they get her to do this movie?
Because it's delightful.
Is that what we're calling it?
Yes, we are absolutely calling it delightful.
The awkward intense of the first three quarters of the whole movie had me in one of those, like, claw hand on the edge of the couch, like, oh god, what now? Oh god, what now? Wait, but what? The entirety of the movie.
See, I didn't have as big a problem with that. There are certainly moments, like, I'm not the type of person that will cover my eyes during horror movies, but I will during embarrassment humor.
Same.
And there were definitely bits of that in the middle.
Yes.
But, like, and it did drag in the middle, too, was, I think, partly as a result of that. But during the beginning and the end, which is sort of the main focus, yes, it was there, but I personally didn't feel like it went on long enough for it to be like, oh no, I feel so bad for you. So that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, no, we can all dissect that together. I have notes and I'd love to hear from both of you on each of these things. So just a couple of things about this. Let's start with the characters here. We have Sam Claflin, who plays Jack. I don't know too much about him other than he was the sexiest boy from the Hunger Games series.
His official title is Not My Ed Screen.
Yes. And he, a lot of rom-coms take an incredibly handsome dude and they're like, man, falling in love is so hard, huh? Mm. And it's really hard to sympathize a lot of the time when they look, say, like Sam Claflin. I think he pulled it off. You know, he's a handsome dude, of course, but he's kind of awkward. And I thought that awkwardness, I thought that was a good lead. What do you think, Jen?
It's the indecisiveness that gets me. It's not the situation that anybody in the movie is put into. It's their inability to navigate themselves through those situations that really gets me. And that was kind of the bigger arc of the whole story, is the moment that something is given to you, it's about how you handle it and what you do with it that defines your fate, as opposed to, you know, just going with the flow. And that's kind of the piece that he doesn't get through the majority of the film, is what to do with the moments that happen. And there's so many moments where he comes to a crossroads and he could either proceed with the plan he had in mind, or he can be derailed, and he continually gets derailed. And that's the moment of the whole thing that continually gets me, like, oh God, how did that happen? It's like watching a car wreck over and over and over in slow motion. The whole of the film, and just really wanted him to make the right choice for himself, and he never does until way later he kind of has that light bulb moment. And oh man, it's hard. It's real hard to watch. It's incredible acting though, because he does that awkward bit of just not getting it so incredibly well. You just want to hug him the whole movie. Like, boo, just do it. Just do the thing.
And that is kind of the premise, as, you know, the voiceover tells you, is the often there are these situations and then just chance comes in and decides to fuck with you. And so that was kind of the he's the fuck boy for fate throughout this entire movie.
Poor baby.
Yes. Although I will say, when he does have that light bulb moment, it's funny that the film played with it, because it's very clearly, I mean, this is obviously a farce. You know, it's a French farce turned into a British farce. And at the end, where it has this moment of go get that girl, you know, he kind of sits there not realizing that he's supposed to go out and do something. And his friend's there is like, he's going to get it at some point. He's going to, and then all of a sudden, oh crap.
Surely he's going to get it.
Yes.
Wait, but is he going to get it?
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh crap, I got to go, you know? So I thought it was funny that they played with this, like, yes, this is absolutely a trope and we have to put it in because of course we do, but we're gonna mess with it a little bit. And I thought that was a nice touch.
Absolutely.
Well, I did appreciate that the light bulb, as you're calling it, was actually good advice. So many rom-coms, the advice kind of sounds like a hashtag or a song title. Like, you want my advice? Love is a teddy bear. Why don't you hug it?
It's so like, deep, that's, bro. That's terrible. It's so deep. Yeah, it's
terrible.
But
advice.
Why are there the watermelons on our feet?
I love when it's, I mean, this entirety of this film is, as we've said, like a comedy of errors, just one thing after another. But then that moment of sincerity, by contrast, rings so true and is so poignant that it turns the head of the entire production. I really, really appreciated the way that that was set up and delivered. Just beautiful writing. Very well done.
Yes, I concur.
Now, Judi Dench asks, and this is also the premise of the film, how many ways can 8 persons be seated around a table? I looked it up on her prompting. It's 5,040.
That's so many. That's so many maths.
Now, what weirded me about this, like, there's been movies like this before, like Sliding Doors with Gwyneth Paltrow, and I think that's the only one I can think of, actually. I'm sure there's tons of examples. But I think this movie was kind of bizarre in its... oh, it just takes a slight interesting change and just a small bit of fate. Like, the catalyst decision they're making is, we should drug someone. I mean, that's a pretty big decision by itself. That's not just a twist of fate.
It's a very strong statement.
At least that Jack does make a point to be like, you want me to roofie this guy? No, so at least they acknowledge that, like, this is absurd. And the characters acknowledge it's absurd, but again, that's it's a farce, so they have to go through with it.
And he has that inability to stand up for the moment and to choose the path he was on. So he, again, gets derailed by the situation, in which case is his sister.
Well, yeah, and he does want to help out his sister. Yeah.
Right. And I also forgot one of the other potentials for drinking it is like a really, really awkward dude in it who's been wearing a kilt, even though he's not Scottish. And all it's doing is just making his junk chafe. and all he does is talk about his co-workers.
Jim and Jeff. And, you know Jim and Jeff.
No, yeah. Played by Tim Key.
So were you kidnapped? No. The love interest to is a wartime journalist, by the way.
Just low-key a wartime journalist.
Just low-key. She just got kidnapped and didn't know if she was going to die.
That was so awkward.
But Jeff, man. Jeff was before that.
But Jim, are you even in the same conversation I'm in right now?
Right.
What did you think of... Honestly, the character I hated the most was... And that's a harsh comment. Chaz. Like... A lot of rom-coms I've noticed, and some other comedies, I always ask myself, do people actually talk like this? So his buddy Chaz, the whole movie is talking about how great his genitals are. Do people actually talk like that? What did you think of that character?
Well, it's like, it's the trope of the jealous boyfriend, because this is the boyfriend of the brother's ex, and he is just desperately trying to be in love with this woman while having massive, massive insecurities. Now, of course, they take it to a farcical level of, I have a big dick, so of course you want to be with me. But it's like, the underlying is not about that. The underlying is, I want to be loved by this woman who very clearly is not into me.
Okay.
And I desperately need a compliment from somebody, anybody. Anybody, past somebody, maybe? Somebody compliment me, please, because I'm so insecure.
Oh, I totally miss that.
Yeah, that's what that's about.
Yeah, the entirety of the thing is this setup of he's throwing these outrageous statements out there, wanting her to pick them up and qualify them so he can feel good about himself because he feels so poorly about himself, which is why he's so abrasive about her ex. Anything to compare himself
to. And the fact that he proposed to her months ago and she didn't give an answer. So it's like, why am I in this relationship? And that's why, you know, as their storyline plays out, it makes more sense, their conclusion. But yeah, it's not that he's just saying this stuff. He's like, I'm better than you.
He's leading the witness.
Yeah, he's leading the witness. He's like, I am better than you. But I'm also insanely jealous of you because it's obvious my girlfriend is still has feelings for you.
What a weird way to deal with that.
Well, yeah.
It's very dude bro. It's that trope of the dude bro. The very hyper aggressive because of a very small, smushy interior core.
Okay. Yes. I was completely naive to this behavior myself. Thank you, both of you. I've learned something today.
No. Well, hopefully you don't get that because you're not that way, which is good.
Very good thing.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out or an ear out for my vocabulary next time me and my spouse have a fight. If I turn over to her in the middle of the night and be like, honey, can I ask you about my genitals?
Hey, every comment is to elicit a response. The question is, what response are you trying to gain and why?
Interesting. Right. Wow.
That's my deed for the day.
I like that. Anyways, back to the movie. I'm just going to end my ranting with my favorite characters was, I'll even say storyline. Aisling Bia playing Rebecca and Joel Fry playing Brian, who are at this wedding together. They clearly have chemistry.
Oh, yes.
But they're also not doing anything about it. I think both these actors are hilarious, and I hope to see them in other stuff. Did you, either of you two have favorite characters? Or?
Well, like all of the characters. I was watching this with my husband, and all of the characters are acted really, really well. The thing about the character Brian, who's, you know, you're Joel Fry, my husband, with his facial expressions, because he was the first one who drinks the roofie, and just him, he was cracking his ass up over just the facial expressions that this guy was making when he was drugged. But I think that, you know, when it cultivates with Brian and Rebecca, it's just so sweet. It's like Brian is desperately trying to make it in the acting world, which I absolutely can relate. And, because I'm trying to do that too. And, you know, Rebecca's obviously into him, and he asks her, like, why are you into me? You know, I'm trying to be an actor, and I'm pretending a lot of the time, which again, I absolutely relate to. And she's like, well, you don't have to pretend with me. And I know I've had moments like that with my husband, and it's just like, it's such a beautiful moment when you have somebody that sees you and especially as an actor who spends a lot of time pretending to be other people, sometimes it's even harder to know who that real you is. And to have somebody see it and honor it is beautiful. And I loved that they played that out with Brian and Rebecca. I really do.
It's funny because in the first half to three quarters of the movie, those two characters are so, like, their farcical nature is so exacerbated that I just couldn't stand to watch the moments of them on screen. And then to see that flip to both of them being so...
absolutely.
To both of them just being so raw and so real and so very aware of themselves in a way that it seems like none of the other characters really are. I mean, everybody else in the film is acting with some sort of agenda. And then there's these two characters who are ridiculous, but they're ridiculous because they're real and they understand that about themselves and they're okay with it. It's so refreshing to see that played out.
Absolutely.
And to see that that is kind of celebrated, that uniqueness, that strangeness, that's just, you know, we're weird, but we're okay with it.
It becomes the moral of the story.
It does. The whole entirety of the film is around that whole piece there, and you don't realize it until it's already happened, and then you look back on it, and you're like, oh, it was real.
Yeah.
And then the speech that happens after that pivotal moment and that shift is one of the rawest and most real but most impactful moments of the entire film.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Just really well done. Like, chef's kiss in the air. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. We should talk about Olivia Munn before we conclude. I know that she gets ignored a lot. So I don't even know what I'm trying to say with that. What did you guys think of her character and her performance?
Eh. I honestly thought that his... Jack's trying to create a relationship with Dina, was one of the weakest, because it feels like that wasn't the core relationship, and the core relationship was Jack and his sister Haley. And so it's like, while yes, Jack is trying to find happiness with Dina, it doesn't feel like that's the focus of the film, despite the fact that she is the... I hate to put it in these terms, but she is the object of desire.
She is. She has no agency in this film. None whatsoever.
She has no agency. She has... her personality is dictated by being an object of desire. And that's more or less it, which is a shame.
No, yeah. I notice in a lot of wedding movies, the groom actually isn't even a character. Just, you know, a plot device. And she kind of seemed like a second groom in this.
Absolutely.
She's there, and Sam's like, oh, I'm so in love. I don't think I've ever been in love before.
And I would say that the groom actually really does have a characterization, despite the fact that he's, you know, his part is small.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And yeah, he has a confrontation with Haley, Roberto, his name, the character name. Tiziano Caputo is the actor. But yeah, when he is allowed to have a role, he does it very well, and the character is crucial in parts. Honestly, I feel like Dina, it falls into the sexy lamp trope, which is a shame.
Agreed.
Well, when she was talking about herself in any part of the movie, I always thought, damn, that sounds more interesting than what I'm seeing right now. Can we have a movie like that for Olivia Munn? And who knows? You know, a war correspondent, you know?
Yeah, it's not about who she is. It's about a series of things that she has done or that have happened to her, which again is not agency.
Right.
And even in the first few moments of the film where there's the first interaction between Jack and Dina, you don't get anything about her as a person. It's she's beautiful and he has feelings for her and we're supposed to see the world through his feelings for her.
Right.
But there's never a moment in the film where there's any justification for why he feels that way about her other than kismet.
Right.
He just other feels than, the way
you know,
he feels,
people
and that's
should
it.
Get
she's
together.
Purdy. She's purdy, and that's it. And that's how everybody sees her. I mean, the gentleman in the kilt, the film director, all of the people who gravitate towards her in the film, it's just because she's beautiful. And none of them show any interest in who she is as a person or her achievements or anything.
That's super
upsetting.
It's
kind of bizarre when you isolate it that way.
Oof. I concur.
All right. Well, let's go into our final thoughts. Anyone want to lead that? I don't like calling on people. I'll start.
All right, I'll go.
Okay, you can go then.
Different timelines.
You got there first.
Different timelines.
Mahaha. In one timeline, Brad goes first.
Nope, not this one.
Boo. Okay, fine, I'll go. All right. So I will say that the first half of this film was incredibly hard for me to watch for aforementioned reasons. But at the end of it, once I digested the entirety of the project, I really appreciated it. It made me feel feels. The acting was epic in the fact that they were able to get me to feel so awkward during the whole thing. So props to it. The cinematography was beautiful. The whole thing was beautifully shot. I laughed a lot. It was insane and utterly, utterly bizarre. I'm going to give it, let's call it 7.5 bureaus in an Italian villa.
Nice.
I guess next is me. I really enjoyed this movie. I remember afterwards my husband was like, this is your kind of film. One of the things about it, and we haven't really talked about her, was Eleanor Tomlinson as Haley, the sister. And she just filled me with such joy, especially in the beginning. See, in the beginning was a time that was beautiful for me. It's like, I don't know about you, Jen, but I've been married for 8.5 years now, and like, there's a place outside my house, like this little round, where I like to go to just sort of be with my thoughts. And within the first 15 minutes and then 30 minutes of this movie, I was outside in my thoughts about my wedding. Because it's just, it's this beautiful moment that you're filled with. And the one thing that I really appreciated about the beginning was it had her being nervous, and she's there with her brother going, why am I doing this? And he goes, because you love him. And she looks over and just smiles and says, yeah. And it's like, it's one of the first times I've ever seen bride anxiety expressed in a positive. It's usually like, what am I doing? I'm making a mistake. It's like, no, you are filled with so much joy and anticipation. It bubbles out of you. And I loved that that was expressed through her. And the fact that that carried through the rest of the movie. And it just brought me back and made me so happy. Joel Fry as Brian was hilarious. And he brought a lot of soul, you know, for his awkwardness, Sam Claflin is Jack Beautiful. I mean, other than Dina, who's a central character, all of the characters were really fleshed out and really well thought out. And I loved that about all of them. I will say it did drag because it felt like they had to go through all of the timelines. And even though in the middle it was sped up, it did drag a little in the middle. There was also a lot more awkward humor in the middle that made me feel uneasy. But all in all, it's a really sweet rom-com that just filled me with joy. And so I am going to give it 8.5 drops of really, really heavy sedatives.
All right. I think I'm kind of on the same level as both of you, actually. I was dozing as this went on. As soon as it got to a different vantage point, my initial thought was like, oh, are we really going to do this over again? But the second vantage point, in my opinion, was actually the best one. So I didn't mind that it kept carrying on that way after all.
Well, it's, you know, the best timeline.
Sometimes these things take time. Yeah, the best timeline, yeah. And like I said before, a huge fan of Joel Fry. I think his shtick is great, whether it's like quirky, weird, awkward facial expressions or being comedic about profound thoughts. I enjoy that a lot. And I enjoy that this rom-com actually had something to say about love that wasn't so silly. I've seen so many rom-coms, most of them with Katherine Heigl, that don't have jack shit to say about anything, and it just makes me depressed. This didn't depress me. I do root for Olivia Munn, and I'm sad to find that all three of us kind of just saw her as, once again, a prop. That's depressing. Really enjoyed a lot of the performances in this. It was cool to see Sam Claflin again. You know, it was weird. Looking, the last time I saw him was, I think it was either that Snow White movie or one of the Hunger Games. I'm like, has it really been that long since I seen this guy? I thought he was going to take Hollywood by storm. But I don't know. Sure, he's doing fine. I do think it's awkward that, oh man, if I could only like touch a girl's hand, then she'll fall in love with me and marry me. Like, that bothers me. Like, I get it. You're handsome. You got swagger. But surely it takes more than that. So that was a little irritating. But yeah, I had a great time. You know, watched it with my wife too. And we thought it was cute. I'm going to give it seven unattended snotty children at 10 weddings. So there you have it. Hopefully this was the best review out of all possible timelines. And everybody has a great evening.
You'll know by the beards. If they have the beards, then you know it's gone too far.
Oh, good thing I left mine at home then.